All right, so we'll say good morning. Let's begin today's daf is Lamed Ches 38. We are picking up on Lamed Zayin on base 37b at the two dots. So 2, 4, 6, 7 lines off from the bottom. Beautiful, beautiful daf today. Thank you, Baruch Hashem. Says the Gemara. So remember again, the Mishnah gave the case of where Reuven and Shimon both deposit utensils with the Shomer. One was worth 100, one was worth 200. Of course, they both come to claim the utensil, and both claim the 200 zuz utensil. So what do? We give the smaller utensil, which was worth 100 zuz, to one of them, and we go ahead and we take 100 zuz from the large utensil. So whether that means we break off a piece of the large utensil, we sell off the large utensil, whatever it is, we pull out $100 from the larger utensil, give that to the other party, and of course again, the rest of the amount goes ahead and remains until Eliyahu HaNavi comes. So says the Gemara Utzvicha, ultimately again, why do we need both of these cases? So we'll say, remember, essentially, the Gemara repeats the same case twice. Just the first time it does it with money, and the second time it does it with utensils. So why do I need both cases? So remember, again, one more piece. In the Mishnah, Rabbi Osi is always of the opinion that in any of these cases where you have contested ownership, he says, put the whole thing in escrow, the whole thing in Eliyahu HaNavi escrow. Why? What's the logic? Because Rabbi Yossi says, otherwise, imkein mahif sid ramai. What is to stop a person from lying? What is to stop a person from lying if at the end of the day they know what's worst case scenario? They're just going to get their $100 back. Therefore, again, in order to go ahead and make sure that people don't lie, so lemais, again, the entire amount goes into Eliyahu HaNavi escrow. So it says, the Gemara Tzricha, we need both of these cases. Why? Because if what it just said the first case, we'll say about the money, I would have said, that's what the Rabbanon say, pay them each out $100, and let the third $100, because there's no loss. I mean, of course there's a loss to the guy who owns the $200, but it's there, it's still in existence. Rabbi Yossi, in the case of the kli, that larger kli, there is a loss. Why is there a loss? Because Lamaisa, that larger kli is either going to be broken or it's going to be sold off, and therefore there is a loss to the kli. Perhaps in that case they would agree with Rabbi Yossi. What the Gemara says, Viat Itmar Baha, and if what it just said the second case of the kli, Baha Kam Rabbi Yossi, that in the case of the kli is where Rabbi Yossi says Hashita, Ava Bahach Imodul Rabbanon. But maybe in the first case of the money, he agrees with the Rabbanon. Therefore it's Tzvicha. Therefore Rabbi Yossi, we need both cases. Tap of Lamed Ches. I have a hard time with Rabbi Yossi Mishum Hefsid HaRamayhu. Rabbi Yossi, but one second, but the entire reason of Rabbi Yossi is because of Imkein Mahifsid Ramay, meaning the whole point of Rabbi Yossi Shita is to go ahead and disincentivize lying. So if that's the case, it doesn't make a difference if they deposited money or if they deposited Kalim. That locha should be the same, that when there is contested ownership, the entire amount goes into Eliyahu HaNavi escrow, to which the Gemara says, Ela Tavay L'Rabbanon Itzrich. Rather, both cases are really written for the Rabbanon. Velozu afzu katani. And I will say the Mishnah chooses a stylistic form of what's called lozu afzu. Lozu afzu means sometimes the Mishnah will go ahead and include repetitive cases that don't really teach us anything new. But once it was saying this, it also said this. That's the lozu va'afzu. Sometimes it's clear that there's no chiddush in the second case, but once we're stating the cases, we put out there all of the possible, all of the different possibilities. Good. So I'll say, bottom line, halacha lamaisa in a case like this, so the idea over here is what we usually do in this situation is we'll go ahead and we'll give out 100 to each of the parties, and the disputed amount will yehimunach achiyavo ilio. That's generally the approach. We give to each party what we know they are rightfully entitled to, and the disputed amount just simply remains in Eliyahu HaNavi escrow. When Mashiach comes, it's one of the things he will resolve. Says the Mishnah, Hamafki Peros. So I will say this is actually a fascinating case. Hamafki Peros Itzachaber. So watch this. I deposit produce with my friend. We'll call him Reuven. I deposit produce with Reuven, and what happens? Reuven's looking at the produce, and it's rotting. It's rotting. So what's the halacha? Afilu hein avudin lo yiga bahem. Even if they are rotting, the halacha is don't touch it. Reuven, you're the shomer. It's your job to watch it. It's not your job to sell it. Even though it's rotting, do not touch it. Reb Shimon Gamliel Omer, no, mochrim bifnei beizdin. Reb Shimon Gamliel says, no, you could go ahead and sell it. But Reuven, you can't sell it yourself. You have to sell it literally in the presence. But what it really means is under the auspices of Bezdin. Why? Because Rabbi said, if Reuven sees my produce rotting, that is an act of loss that is occurring to my property right under his nose. And remember again, the halacha is that if you see someone experiencing an act of loss, you have an obligation to whatever, to the best of your ability, to stave off that loss. Therefore, if he sees my produce rotting in front of him, he needs to sell off my produce. So what's the fundamental machlokes between the Rabbanan and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel? The Rabbanan say, leave it alone. It's not Reuven, it's not your job. It's your job to watch it. Spoilage is not your problem, assuming that Reuven wasn't a poshea. He's not negligent. Leave it alone. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, no, sell it off under the auspices of Beis Din. Says the Gemara, my time. So again, I understand Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's logic, because he will say, if I see spoilage happening right in front of me, I understand why Reuven would want to sell off that produce to stave off any future loss. But what's the logic of the Rabbanon that say that even if there's spoilage occurring, then what? We don't touch it. What's the pshat? Amrav Kahana, Adam rotze bekav shalo, mitisha kadm shalchaver. That's a very profound yisod. A person would rather have one kav of his own produce than nine kavim of someone else's produce. The idea is that which is mine, I have a particular connection to. See, even though I understand that I'm going to lose some of my produce because of spoilage, I don't want anyone selling off my stuff. I want my stuff, even if it turns out that I get back less stuff than what I deposited with Reuven. So we'll say that's Rav Kahana. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Amar, this is a different issue. Chayshinan shema ason hamafkid, Chuma umaiser amokum acher. We'll say there's another concern. The concern is I, who has produce, has an obligation to separate out chumas and maisers. Now the halacha is that you could designate produce at a different location as chumas and maisers on produce here. So let's say, for example, I deposited the fruit with Reuven. I have a whole pile of tevel, of untithed produce in my house. So you know what I say? Let the produce in Reuven's house become truma and meiser on the produce in my house. So that works. It's not ideal. We normally like to take trumas and meiser, what we call minam mukov, from things that are all together, but nevertheless, it works. So Rav Nachman says, the issue over here is, the reason why Reuven can't sell off my produce when there is spoilage is why? Because there's a concern that what? That I may have designated that produce that is in his possession right now as truma and meiser. If that's the case, if it's truma and meiser, we'll say you can't just sell that off to anyone. I mean, you can sell it off to a kohen, as we'll discuss, but you can't just sell it to anyone. Therefore, again, the Rabbanan will say, don't touch it. So we'll say, both Rav Kahana and Rav Nachman agree on the sheet of the Rabbanan, which is that even when Reuven is watching my produce and there's spoilage, the halacha is, don't touch it. They disagree as to why. So Rav Nachman, Rav Kahana says, because Adam wrote to the Kashu, Oser Mitisha Kam Shachavero, I want my stuff. And even if it's less of it, I still want my stuff. I don't want someone else's stuff. Whereas Rav Nachman says, no, we're concerned that maybe I went ahead and designated that as Trumas and Maestros. Says the Gemara, Mesve, most of us analyze this. So Mesve, Hamat Kipero says, Chavero. Alright, you go ahead. So I'll say, if I deposit fruits by my friend, meaning the shomer, should not touch it. Therefore, the balabayis, I, the owner of the produce, can designate this produce as truma and meiser on produce that is at a different location. So let's understand this. So we'll say, Kornit Rav Kahana says that the reason the shomer can't touch the produce is because Adam wrote sebekav shalo mitisha kavim shal chavero. Then I understand the meaning of this price. Therefore, once the shomer can't touch it, I know the produce is there. Therefore, I can go ahead and designate it as true and meister, because I know that the shomer has not sold it off. However, El Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Maila Fichach, Rabbi Yitzchak Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, who says that the reason the shomer can't sell it off is because I, the owner, may have designated it as Truma and Maisar. So what does the Braisa mean when it says, therefore, it can be designated as Truma and Maisar? To which the Gemara says, Hachi Kamar, this is what it means to say. Hashtad Am Rabbanan Lo Nizvin Dechashinan. Now that the rabbi said to the Shomer, don't sell the produce. Don't sell the produce out of concern that maybe the owner went ahead and what? Maybe the owner went ahead and designated as Chuma and Meiser. Lefichach, Balabayis, Osa Osan, Chuma Umaisa Mokomacher. So it's an interesting verbiage. Once the rabbi said to the Shomer, don't sell it off, because it may be designated as Chuma and Meiser, that should give the owner the confidence to designate it as Chuma and Meiser, knowing full well that what? It has not been sold off. Okay, an interesting idea. So we'll say pretty much middle of the page, Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, right across from Tosos Machlokes, about four lines up from there. So it says the Gemara, three lines up. Amr Rav Arachana, Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Machlokes Bechteches Rora. So listen to this. Now, let's assume for a moment that whenever you have produce, there's always a certain amount of spoilage. So comes along Rabbi Bar Bachana and says, name Rabbi Yochanan, that the machlokes in the Rabbanan of Shimon Gamliel and the Mishnah is only talking about when they're within the realm of normal spoilage. So in the realm of normal spoilage, the Rabbanan will say to the Shomer, don't touch the produce. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, absolutely sell off the produce in order to go ahead and stave off any further loss. Aval Yosef Michteches Ronan, Rabbi will say, everybody agrees that in the case of, I guess, what we'll call accelerated spoilage, where it's more than the normal percentage of loss, divrei hakol mochrim bebeisdin. So we'll say in the case of accelerated spoilage, everyone will agree that what? The shomer should sell it off, but, and this is clear, there is a certain level of protection here, which is that the shomer can't sell it off on his own. The shomer has to sell it off under the auspices of Beisdin. And of course, all of that is to make sure that the sale is done kidasu kidin. To which the Gemara says, Adrav Nachan by Yitzchak, vadai pliga. So we'll say, according to Adrav Nachan by Yitzchak said, they certainly disagree. Adrav Kahana, mi lema pligi. Rabbi say, regarding the sheet of Rav Kahana, are they arguing? So says the Gemara. Ki kam Rav Kahana bichdei chesrona ka'amar. So we'll say, remember again, when Rav Kahana said, so we could say that even Rav Kahana was the one who said, that rotsa adam bekav shalo, yoser mitisha kavim shalchav. A person wants his stuff. But maybe Rav Kahana only said that bichdei chesrona. Yes, I'd rather have my stuff. But you know what's even more important to me than my produce? Right? Is my money, right? Is my money. Therefore, again, if there's regular spoilage, it's fine. I'd still rather have my own produce. If there's accelerated spoilage, at that point in time, again, I would rather the shomer sell off my stuff in order to go ahead and stave off any additional loss. So must be 1 second, but that's not what he says. V'harotze b'kav shalo mitisha kaven shal chaveru ka'amar. But look what Rav Nachman Bar Kahana said. Rav Kahana said that a person would rather have one kav of his own produce than nine kavim of his friend's produce. So Shavuot say, sounds like what? That even in a case of accelerated spoilage, I'd rather walk away with 1/9 of my own produce than the whole of someone else's produce. Which sounds like, which the Gemara says, no, understand, guzma ba'alma. I will say that's hyperbole, right? That's hyperbole. That's a little bit of an exaggeration. We're just trying to make a point, right? We're trying to make a point that people would rather have a little bit less of their own stuff than someone else's stuff. But if there's going to be a significant loss, I, the owner of the produce, want the shomer to sell it off. So they say, the Gemara raises the kasha, lefichach balabayis osa osan shuma maisa makomacher. Therefore, the balabayis has the ability to go ahead and what? Has the ability to make the produce that he deposited with someone else, Truma and Meiser. So let's analyze this. We just said before that if I deposit fruits with Ruvain, I go home, I have a pile of produce in my house, I can go ahead and designate the produce I deposited with Ruvain as Truma and Meiser on the produce I have in my house. But how could we do that? We'll say, shouldn't I be concerned that maybe there was excessive spoilage of the produce? Ruvain sold it off, and therefore, again, by the time I designated that produce in Ruvain's home as Truma and Meiser, it was what? It was no longer there. In which case, it turns out that I've never separated out Trumas and Meisters, in which case the produce in my home is Tevel, in which case I am consuming untithed produce, to which the Gemara says the following. To which the Gemara says, the truth is the case of accelerated spoilage is not a common case. And to which the Gemara says, okay, but let's say it happens. So what do you do? My, what's the halacha? Mizamnin aluf. So we'll say everybody's going to agree that in a case, ultimately again, of accelerated spoilage, that the shomer has the right to sell off the produce in order to go ahead and prevent too much loss to the owner. So therefore, again, in a case of accelerated spoilage, the shomer has the right to sell it off. V'leichosh shema asan balabayis truma u'maisra makom acher. And we'll say if that's the case, in a case of accelerated spoilage, where the shomer does have the right to sell it off, why aren't we concerned that perhaps the owner of the produce made this produce, truma and meiser, on produce that he has in his home? To which the Gemara says, oh, I'll tell you why, it's a very easy way we prevent it. Ki mizabninon nami lekohanim bidimei truma mizabninon lehu. Rabbi said, listen to this. When we give the shomer the right to sell off the produce, who do we give him the right to sell it off to? Only to kohanim. So what we do is we take this into account that perhaps, again, the owner of the produce has made the produce truma and meiser. The way we deal with that is to go ahead and say only sell to kohanim. Obviously, when you're selling to a kohen, you're going to have to sell at a shtickle discount, right? Because the meiser, again, remember, the market is much smaller. But the meiser, at least we take that into account. So therefore, we cover ourselves on all this. Therefore, if there's accelerated spoilage, we assume the owner would want the shomer to go ahead and sell it off immediately. We will only sell it to a kohen. This way, this covers us in the event that the owner of the produce designated this produce as trumas and maestros. Ulu Rav Nachan by Yitzchak nami nizam ninu lekana b'dmei truma. We'll say, and according to Rav Nachan by Yitzchak. So why don't we supposed to remember again? Rav Nachan by Yitzchak was the one who said that even under normal circumstances, meaning let's say under a case of regular spoilage, the shomer can't sell off the produce. Why? Out of a concern that the owner may have designated as trumas and maestros. But says, I don't understand. We could address Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok's concern very easily. Even in a case where there's not rapid spoilage, you could go ahead and sell it off. Why? Just sell it to a kohen. And therefore, even if he did go ahead and designate as trumas and maestros, the produce is still fine. To which the Gemara says, Baha pligi. So we'll say, listen to this. Here's really what they argue about. To Rabbi Bar Bachana, listen to this. Rabbi Bar Bachana holds, Savar, Yosr Michtech Esron Lo Shchiach Midi. Both say, accelerated spoilage is not a common occurrence. Vechim Mishtachach Lekamehu Dehavya, Yosr Michtech Esronon. So both say, listen to this. And we assume that Lamaisa, if I do find accelerated spoilage, That happened here. Now, what does that mean? Look at Rashi. L'kamehu dahavi yeser mechtei chesronon. Rashi says, L'zman meruba yesh ba'avdon yeser mechtei chesronon. That it must have happened, this happened over time. Right? V'chi mishtachach l'kamehu dahavi yeser mechtei chesronon. I'avluhu balabayis truma umayser amokum acher. Mikame dahavi luhu yoser mechtei chesronon avluhu. But say, listen to this. We assume that accelerated spoilage only happens over a large amount, a significant amount of time. And if somebody, okay, that's point number one. Point number two, if somebody is going to designate that produce as trumas and maestros, that happened earlier on, it must have happened soon after the deposit of the produce was made. Which is another way of saying that if the owner did designate this produce as truma and meiser, that designation must have happened prior to the excessive spoilage. Hilchach ki havelu yelser mechtei chesronon nizabninu lekohanim bidmei truma. Therefore, Rabbi said the way we go ahead and deal with this is we assume that ultimately, again, if it was made trumas and meisros, it was already done in the past. Now that it's reached the stage of accelerated spoilage, that ultimately will sell it off to a kohen and will remedy that issue. That's Rabbi Bar Bachana. On the other hand, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak will say, Savar yeser mechdei chesronon, mishkach shkiach. So Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak will say, argues on the Metzias, and he says, accelerated spoilage happens all of the time. And what happens? V'chi havaluhu la'alterhu dahavu. But this is interesting. He claims that when there is accelerated spoilage, often that doesn't necessarily take a lot of time. Sometimes they both say because of a whole variety of different issues, that can happen relatively quickly after the deposit. And therefore what? V'i amrit nizab minhu. And if you say to sell this produce, zimnin dekadim umazbin lehu, sometimes you sell it early after the deposit, v'chi avid lehu balabayis truma umayser amakomacher, lo yada dizabna v'ka'achol tvalin. So we'll say, this is actually quite interesting. Their machlokis is really in the rapidity, is that a word? Rapidness?
Yeah.
Rapidity. Yeah, rapidity. Good. Look. Seriously. Right, the rapidity, ultimately, again, of spoilage. Because according to the first approach, excessive spoilage only happens over a significant amount of time. Now, the benefit of that is we know that if he designated it as Trumas and Maestris, it happened already earlier on. Therefore, if we have to sell it to a Kohen, Shalom Yisrael. The second opinion says, no, excessive spoilage sometimes happen very quickly. If you sell it off now, we'll say, what's the actual concern? The actual concern is you may sell it off before the owner designated it as Trumas and Maestris. And when he actually gets around to designating it as Trumas and Maestris, what's the problem? The produce is no longer there. And therefore, again, he thinks that he's designated something as Trumas and Maestros, when in fact it's no longer in existence. Therefore, he hasn't designated anything. And therefore, Lemaisa, again, what? Therefore, Lemaisa is eating Tevel. That's fundamental machlokas. Meisveis, where is the kasha? Hamavkir peros, etzo chavero. Veherkivo, the person goes ahead and deposits fruit by his friend, and the fruit rotted. Yayin vehechemitz, wine turned sour. Shemen vehidish, the oil went bad. Dvash vehidvish, the honey went sour. Hare ze lo yigo ben derev meir. So what's the Rebbe Meir says? Don't touch it. Don't touch it. Shomer, don't sell it off. It's not your job. Your job is to watch it. Leave it alone. Becham the chachamim say no. Osalahem takana umochrin bebezin. Chum say no, we go ahead and what? Sell it off in Beis Din. Right? We go ahead and sell it off under the auspices of Beis Din. Ukisha hu mochran, both of this. Now, this is actually a very interesting halacha. If you are a shomer, according to the Chachamim, and you are selling off produce or an item in order to go ahead and stave off a loss to the owner, there is a certain, I guess what we'll call, avoidance of conflict of interest policy. And what is that? You can't buy it yourself. You can't buy it yourself. You have to sell it to someone else. So we'll say, what are other examples of avoidance of conflict of interest policy? Listen to this. Kiyotzebo, gabay tzedaka. But let's say the gabay tzedaka. Bizman shen lemaniyim lachlok pochun la'achirim. Being pochun la'achirim. So let's say again, the gabay tzedaka has no aniyim to give out to. Right? Halavai, such a thing should occur. Right? There are no aniyim. There are no aniyim. You can imagine such a thing like this. So what happens? So the gabay tzedaka, Rabosai, has, Rashi brings down over here, prutos nechoshes, copper prutos. The problem with copper prutos is that sometimes they rot. So what you would do is if you have prutos, you want to get rid of them, you want to give them out. Let's say there are no aniyim. What you would do is you would exchange them for coins of a different denomination. So you'd exchange them for silver or for some other precious metal that doesn't rot. So therefore, the Gemara says when the gabay tzedaka exchanges the prutos, he may not exchange them with his own money. It must be done with someone other than him. Similarly, gabay tamchui. The gabay tamchui. We'll say the tamchui is like the communal soup kitchen. So with the gabay tamchui, bizman she'en lemaniyim lechalek. So we'll say, remember, if you're running the soup kitchen, and let's say, halavai, there are no aniyim who show up. The problem is, you've got a soup kitchen filled with food. You want to sell it off. You can sell it off, but you, as the gabay of tamchui, cannot buy it yourself. Only someone outside of the gabay of tamchui can buy it. So again, what do we take from this? Katani mehas, peros ve'erkivu. And we'll say, remember again, but the Braisa says that if I'm watching fruit, and the fruit rot, Rabbi Meir says, leave it alone. Do not touch it. My love, so is this not talking about even in a case of where there is excessive spoilage? To which the Gemara says, lo, bichdei chesronon. No, not true. It's talking about a case of regular spoilage. That's when Rabbi Meir says, don't touch it. But even Rabbi Meir would agree that in a case of excessive spoilage, you have to sell off the produce. So the Gemara says, but one second. V'hayayin v'hichmitz, shemen v'hivish, dvash v'hidvish, diyeser michdei chesronon inhu. But what's the price it says? The price talks about a wine that goes sour, oil that goes putrid, honey that also spoils. These are all cases of yeser michdei chesronon. These are all cases of excessive spoilage. Yet Rabbi Meir still says in that case, leave it alone. Oh, to which the Gemara says, here's what the Shabbos say. Shiny hani, the chayvan to come. Shabbos say, listen to this. The difference is certain things, once they go bad, they're bad. So for example, once wine goes sour, it's done. There's no more additional loss that is going to occur. So in these cases, once the loss has already been encountered, leave it alone. Once the honey goes bad, it's bad. Once the oil goes bad, it's bad. Meaning, you don't gain anything at that point in time by selling it off. Just hold it. When the owner retrieves it, he'll take care of it. And masha'in kein what? Masha'in kein produce. See, produce, if you sell it off now, you could still salvage some of the value. Masha'in kein, if you leave it alone and it rots further, it depreciates in value every single time. To which the Gemara says, by the way, Shemen v'hivish, tvash v'hidvish, lemai, amud v'ez, lemai, chazu. So it's actually good to know. So if you have oil or honey that go putrid, so what can they be used for? What can they be used for? To which the Gemara says, I'll tell you, shemen chazu ligaldoi. So actually, putrid oil is usable for leather workers. Apparently, they smear the hides with this type of leather that softens up the leather. So you can even use putrid oil for that. And dvash actually is good to know. Liktisha de gamli for camel sores. In other words, that's sometimes as a result of the load or of the saddle on the camel, so there's some abrasions on the skin. So apparently, again, putrid honey is a good salve for your camel. Good. Just you should know, it's an amazing thing. You know, we live in such a disposable society. So for us, it's something you don't like, you throw it out. You have to realize that's an incredible sign of just the affluence of the times in which we live in. The Gemara operates from a different perspective. Okay, so you can't eat the honey. The automatic shayla is good. So what else can I do with it? What else? It's an incredible hashkafas hachaim also. There's nothing in this world that's unnecessary. So I can't use it for the original purpose, and so now what else could I do with it? An amazing thing. And it's amazing how the Ribono Shel Olam made multiple uses for every single thing in this world. That even if I can't use it for human consumption, there's always some other use. Chacham the Chacham say, Oselan takana mochrin, the basis, Shabbos say, the Chachamim say what? So remember, the Chacham disagreed with Rabbi Meir. And the Chachamim say that no, we tell the Shomer, if the Shomer sees that there is spoilage, so we tell the Shomer ultimately to go ahead and sell it off, but under the auspices of Beis Din. So says the Gemara, my takana. So what does it mean? What is this takana? My takana, Amar Rav Ashi, lekan kamim. Because it will say the Chacham see like this. Even in a case where Lemaisa, you cannot salvage the particular item, you can still salvage the utensils. Now, listen, this is an important yisod. You see, when stuff spoils, remember, what type of utensils, what type of barrels are they using? Kupashtos? Right, clay, earthenware. Now, the whole chop with earthenware is what? Earthenware absorbs. So the idea is, if you have a utensil that has something that is rotting or spoiling in it, if it sits in the utensil for too long, the utensil is ruined as well. So therefore, what the halacha say is like this, under certain circumstances, even when the item has spoiled to the point of no return, it doesn't matter if it sits anymore or not, you still sometimes want to sell it off in order to be able to use the utensil. So by my commitment, you suppose, what are they arguing about? Rabbi Meir holds Rabbi Osei that the rabbis were only concerned about significant loss, but not about insignificant loss. Therefore, again, if your produce has accelerated spoilage, the rabbis will allow the shomer to sell it off, but not if there's regular spoilage. And we don't really care about the utensils, because the utensils represent a pretty much an insignificant loss. Masha'in kein, the rabbanon say no, that even to save the utensils, the shomer could sell off the produce under the auspices of the Beis Din. So let's remember again, the Mishnah said that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, what's the fundamental machlokes in the Mishnah? The Rabbi Meir says, or I should say, the Chachamim in the Mishnah say that Lemaisa, again, if I perceive that there is, I'm the shomer, I perceive that there is spoilage, leave it alone. Leave it alone. One of two reasons as to why that is. Remember, Rabbi Yochanan clarifies that and says that if it's excessive spoilage, everyone agrees that you can sell off the produce. Rabbi Shimon Leal says, in all cases of spoilage, if I see that spoilage is occurring, I have the ability to go ahead and sell off the produce in order to prevent a further loss to the owner. Itmar, Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Yaakov, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Halach, Rabbi Shimon Leal. Oh, so also Rabbi Abba named Rabbi Yaakov goes along and says, the halacha follows Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Namely, that when I, the shomer, see a loss, see spoilage occurring to the produce, even if what? If it's not excessive spoilage, it's regular spoilage, I, as the shomer, have the right, and maybe even the imperative, to go ahead and sell off the produce. Rava says, namely, even if I see spoilage, leave it alone. Do not touch it. That is not my right as a shomer. V'ha am Rabbi Yochanan chad zimna. Beit Rabbi Yochanan is on record as saying one time, Am Rabbi Bachanan Rabbi Yochanan. Ha-makom sheshan Rabbi Shimon Gamliel b'mishnasin halacha kimoso. Beit Rabbi Osei. We, Rabbi Yochanan already said this once. Remember, Rabbi Yochanan now comes out on record over here and says, Maranan v'rabanan da'alacha falz Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Comes on the Gemara and says, I don't understand, why does Rabbi Yochanan have to make that statement? Rabbi Yochanan already made a general statement that Rabbi Osei, wherever Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is quoted in the Gemara, da'alacha or in the Mishnah, da'alacha always follows him with three exceptions. Chutz me, already the case of the guarantor, we're not going to get into these cases now, Tzidon and Raya or Re'iyah Achrona. So we'll say, so the halacha always says Rav Shimon Gamliel. So why does Rabbi Yochanan feel compelled to say it again? To which the Gemara says, Amorayim ninu va'aliba de Rabbi Yochanan. Because we'll say, there was a machlokis amorayim about what Rabbi Yochanan said, and therefore Rabbi Yochanan ultimately, and therefore again the Gemara asserts this reality over here. Fine. Midi Rav Shimon Gamliel, nishma de'ar. So we'll say, listen to this. Now, we're going to get into a very fascinating sukkah. So we'll say, just, okay, I'm going to, conflicted if I should tell you the halacha or not now. Such a struggle. All right, fine. You twist the mind. Let me tell you the halacha. Listen to this. Just for clarification purposes. So the way... no, I'm not telling you yet. I'll tell you why. Because the truth is, it's not finished yet. So it says more like this. Let's look. Now, we'll say, so here's what we have. We have a fundamental machlokes in the Mishnah between Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and the Chachamim, and what we call the Rabbanon. So here's the case. I deposit produce with Reuven. Reuven sees their spoilage. Let's assume for the purposes of our discussion, not excessive spoilage, because let's assume for a moment that in the case of excessive spoilage, everyone will agree that what? The Shomer has the right to go ahead and sell it off. So this is what we'll call normal range of produce spoilage. So the Chachamim say, Shomer, don't touch it. Leave it alone. There's an understanding that there's some level of spoilage. It's not your job to sell off the produce. Rav Shimon Leil says, no. If I, the Shomer, see that there is a loss happening to the produce of the person who deposited with me, I have a halachic imperative to step in, sell off the produce under the auspices of Beis Din in order to stave off the loss. So we'll say, understand, you're saying to yourself, well, one second, isn't it obvious that you should sell off the produce? We'll say, so first of all, a couple of things. First of all, we have the Rotsa Adam Bekav Shalo issue. But remember also, there's another issue. Let's say, Reuven deposited with me olives, and I see some level of spoilage. But let's say, again, it's olive season. So what happens? The prices of olives are on the uptick, right? They're rising. If I sell off his produce, understand, I may have saved him some money for the spoilage, but what? It's also possible that I cost him a lot of money if the price of olives skyrocket. So I'm just pointing out that as much as it sounds like a no-brainer to go ahead and sell off the produce when there's spoilage, there is a potential downside as well. So it says the Gemara like this. So as Rav Shimon Gamliel, it sounds like we can learn, Dimoridin karo v'nichse shavoy. So we'll say, from the words of Shimon Gamliel, it sounds like we're both saying the following. Let's say you have the following situation. Reuven is taken captive. And what happens? He has a field that is lying fallow. The field that's not being worked. So Rav Shimon Gamliel says that you work, that you sell off the produce to save someone else from a loss. Sounds like we take the relative of this shavui and put him in the field, telling him, go work the field. I will say, Rashi points out over here that this would be, what kind of relative are we talking about? The type of relative who would be a Yoresh. The type of relative that should something happen to this Shavui would be in line to inherit this field. On the other hand, it sounds like from the Rabbanon, who say that what? That you don't sell off the produce, that we do not go ahead and take a relative and put him in the field of the captive.
Umimai.
So we'll say, so again, see here what the Gemara is suggesting over here. The Gemara is suggesting just like this. Reuven is taken captive. He's got a field that now is lying there unworked, untilled, unplowed, whatever, unharvested. So it sounds like over here that according to Shimon Gamliel, the Mishnah, who says that the Shomer should sell off the produce when he sees spoilage, what would we do? We would take a relative of the Shavuot, say, listen, work the field. Work the field, save the Shavuot, save the captive from additional loss. According to the Rabbanon, who says that we leave the produce alone, would say that when it comes to the field, we don't put any, leave the field alone. Leave the field alone. To which the Gemara says, we might. How do you know to equate these two cases? Dilma ad kano kamar of Shimon Gamliel hacha. So we'll say, maybe the Rabbanon, or maybe Rav Shimon Gamliel says in the case of produce that you sell it off, why? Because the produce is actively rotting in front of my eyes. The keren, the principle, is actively disappearing. In the case of the field, the keren is still there. All right, it might come a little overgrown. It might not maximize its output, but the field is still there. And maybe in that case, even Rav Shimon Gamliel would agree with the Rabbanon, leave the field alone. Furthermore, I will say, maybe in the case of the produce, the Rabbanon hold that the Shomer should leave it alone, either because the Rav Kana of Rotz Adam Bekav Shal Yosef Mitishkam Shal Chavero, or because the Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, who says that maybe the owner designated as Trumas and Maestros, Aval Hassan, Achanami Dimoritin. But maybe over here, by the case of the field, they would agree that we do place someone to oversee the field. Lememra, the trade timing here. So we'll say, are you saying over here that the reason for this case, right, the case of the Shavui, are you saying that the reason for the case of the Shavui and the reason for the Mishnah, I should say, the reasoning of the captive case and the reasoning of our Mishnah are two different reasons? First white line, Lamed Chesem Adbeis, V'am Rav Yehud Amar Shmuel, Halacha Kerab Shimon Gamliel. Bet Rav Yehud is the name of Shmuel, the Halacha Faz of Shimon Gamliel. Rav said, namely, that what? That Lamaisa, when the Shomer sees a loss, sell off the produce. V'amar Shmuel, and Shmuel says, Moridin Karov V'nichse Shavoy. Yet Rav says, Shmuel is also of the opinion that when there is a field, and the owner of the field is taken captive, we take a relative of the Shavuot, put him in the field, tell him to work the field. Now, both say, Shmuel is quoted in both of those cases. So Shmuel is on record as saying that Halacha Faz of Shimon Gamliel, namely that what? That's what? Sell the produce in order to what? Save him from a loss. Shmuel is also one who says, place a relative in the field of the Shavuot, presumably why? Save him from a loss, which sounds like what? It's the same reasoning in both cases. To which the Gemara says, La mishum dechad taimu, is it not because it's one reason in both cases? To which the Gemara says, Lo, tre taimi ninu. In reality, two cases are two different reasons. Now, both say, now here's what's interesting. The Gemara tells us that the cases are two different reasons, but doesn't tell us what the two different reasons are. We'll get to it. Hachinami mistaber, this seems to be clear. Do amar rava amar rav nachman halacha kedivre chachamim. I will say that on one hand, Rava said in the name of Nachman that in our Mishnah, the halacha falls the chachamim, that in a case of normal spoilage, we tell the shomer, don't touch the produce. Yet, v'amar Rav Nachman, moridin karov l'nichse shavo. Yet, Rabbi says, the same Rav Nachman says that what? That in the case of the field, we do go ahead and place a relative in the field. So what do you see from here? Ella, shmamina, trei taimininu, shmamina. So what do we see? We see that there are two different reasons, two different streams of logic. In our case of the Mishnah, which is the case of the produce, and in the case of the field of the Shavuot. So what we've established, Rabbi Say, just is that it's two different reasonings behind these two different rulings. Now we're going to analyze the case of the Shavuot. Itmar. So Rabbi Say, let's analyze this case. Itmar. Shavuot Shenishba. If you have a person who is taken captive. So Rav Amar, Rav says, Ein Moridin Karov V'Nechasav. Rav says, we do not take a relative of the Shavuot and place him in the field to work the field in the absence of the Shavuot. We don't do it. Shmuel says, Moridin Karov L'Nechasam. No, not true. Shmuel says, we take a relative, and when we say relative, it's someone who would be an heir of the Shavuot, and we place him in the field in order to work the field in the Shavuot's, in the captive's absence. So we'll say, listen to this. So when we heard that we'll call him Reuven, that Reuven died in captivity. So we'll say, again, this will be a case of where we hear a rumor that Reuven died, but we don't have confirmed Eidos. So when we hear that Reuven died, Everyone agrees that what? Everyone agrees that we go ahead and we place a relative in the field in order to work the field. Kipli, Yisrael say, when do they argue? Bishalosh Shamabo Shameis. So we'll say, in a case where we heard Reuben was taken captive, but what? We have no news as to whether or not he's alive or dead. We hear that he's been taken captive, but no further information. So we'll say, in that case, so listen to this. So far, we're narrowing the scope now. When we hear a rumor that the Shavoi died in captivity, everybody agrees that what? Well, what? We place a relative in the field to work the field. What about in the case where, the Machlokas case is where we heard he was taken captive, but we did not hear if he's alive or if he's dead. So Rav Amar Ein Moridin, Rav says, in a case where we just know that he's captive, but we don't know anything else. Ein Moridin. We will not place a relative in the field. Why? Dilma Mafsidlu. It's like, because sometimes, you know, when someone is not an owner of something, there is a concern that maybe they will not take care of the land in question, and it could turn out that what? That maybe they will even go ahead and do more harm. It's like, what is it in medicine? The first principle is do no harm. Is that all right? So do no harm, right? So sometimes in life, right, the first principle is do no harm. Do no harm. So therefore, Rav says like this, you know what? The field is going to lay fallow. I got it. Sometimes you'd rather that than potentially introduce someone else who may actively even adversely impact the situation. On the other hand, Shmuel Amar Moridin. Shmuel says, no. We go ahead and we put the relative there. Why? Kevon Daramar Shamina Luka Aris Lamasudu. Oh, because we'll say, Shmuel says, when we place the relative in that field, we're not asking for an act of altruism. What are we asking him for? We're asking to be a sharecropper. Rabbi says, now what's the chap of sharecropping? Sharecropping is you share in part of the crop. You get a percentage of the yield, which means that what? You have a vested interest in making the land fruitful. So therefore, I'm sorry? Good, correct. We'll get to the Yerusha part in just a little bit. Excellent. So Rabbi says, so the idea over here is if we make him a sharecropper, that pretty much ensures that he's going to take care of the field. So Meisvei, Rabbi Loza Omer, Mimash Moshenemar V'chora Api Va'eschem. So we'll say the pasuk over here is by the Tochacha. Right, I will get upset with you, or one of the Tochachas. I will get upset with you, and I will kill you with the sword, and your wives will be widows, and your children orphans. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. So the Gemara says, Yodea ani v'charapi v'arakti eschem. The Gemara asks, why is the pasuk repetitive? After all, if the Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to kill you, Yodea ani shenishosem amaros ubneim yisomim. So what's that? If Kadosh Baruch Hu said that I'm going to kill you, then it's obvious that what? That the wives are going to be widows and the children are going to be orphans. Elamatam lor v'hu nishechem. So what does the Lord have to say? Wives will be widows. Because the punishment that we'll say is that the men will be killed in a way that the wives will not know if their husbands are dead or not. And therefore they'll want to go ahead and remarry, but will be unable to do so. And the Gemara says, Ubnehem Yisomim, what does this mean? So the Gemara says, I'm sorry, Ubnehem, Rotsin Leire the Nichse Avien, Vein Manichin Osan, and the children will want to go ahead and go into the property of their father, and yet we will be unable to allow them to do so because there is no definitive proof of the death of the father. To which the Gemara says, Amarava, Leireid v'limkortzina. In other words, that's talking about a case of Osai of what? Over the children who want to sell off the property. Say, inachinami, in order to allow an heir to sell off property, for that you need more definitive proof. But to allow someone who's a potential heir to place them in the field to work the field in the absence of the owner, who says we can't do that? Suppose to listen to this. Hava uvda b'narda. So an episode like this happened in Narda. It's happened. In other words, we'll call him Reuben, the owner of the field, who lived in Arda, was taken captive, and what happens? A yoresh of his, a potential heir, came down, was placed in the field to work the field. So what happens? Upashta Rav Sheshes Mihamas Nisin. And Rav Sheshes went ahead and brought a raya from this braisa. Rav Sheshes objected to this. Rav Sheshes says, you do not have a right to place a relative in the field to work that field in the absence of the captive. And he brought a raya from the braisa, to which the Gemara says, Amalei Rav Amram, Dilma, Lioreid Velim Kortinan, to which Rav Amram responded, no, maybe the only prohibition is when one, is like we just said before, both said that what? The heir can't come in and sell the field, but the heir can absolutely go ahead and what? Work the field. So also listen to this. So Rav Sheshes did not like this. So he says to Rav Amram, well, Amalei, Dilma Demi Pompadisaat. Oh, maybe you're from Pompadisa. D'ma'aylon pila bekufa d'machta. You guys from Pompadisa, you could take an elephant and fit it through the eye of a needle. But Shabbosai is the precursor to the statement of taking a square peg and fitting it into a round hole. Well, say this is that Yisori saying you guys could fetch anything. You could fetch out any answer you want to make it look right. In other words, to which Rav Sheshes was saying, I respectfully disagree. Right? Meaning, in other words, that I have you guys from Pompadisa, you always go ahead and you come up with the most far fetched answers. I don't agree. I have a hadumi dinisho saying ukatani mahosam klal lo. Rather, I will say at the end of the day, Rav Sheshet says the comparison in the pasuk was saying that just like Nebuch and the keys of the woman, because we don't know the whereabouts or what happened to her husband, there is no way for her to get married. So too, again, I will say the case of the children is also we don't allow them to go down to the property of the father at all. That's what the pasuk is saying. So we'll stop over here, but understand we're ending off kind of mid machlokas. So what we've done now over here is we've introduced a brand new discussion that we thought at first was an offshoot of our Mishnah, but it turns out not to be an offshoot of the Mishnah. So I have to loop back to the Mishnah Mirat Hashem tomorrow. I'll give you the halacha tomorrow. I will say, but what we're left with is the following. Case number one is the case of spoilage. In a case where Reuven deposits with me produce, and I see that there's spoilage, can I sell off the fruit in order to save off Reuven from a loss? That is a machlokes. Did Rabbanan say no? Rav Shimon Gamliel says yes. It seems to be in the case of excessive spoilage, everyone will agree that what? That I can sell it off in order to save off future loss. The case that Gemara introduced, because we thought it was an offshoot of this case, but it turns out it's really its own new case, is the case of Shavui. Reuven is taken captive, there's no one to work his field. Do we as Basin place a relative in that field to work it or not? That is a machlokis as well. Whereas we thought that machlokis was originally linked to our Mishnah, and now it turns out that is a separate freestanding machlokis, and Mirat Hashem will resolve that machlokis tomorrow, as well as find the halacha in the Mishnah. Shkoyach.